My precious family, I long to share my heart with you. I want you to understand how the Lord has led me for 50 years, and I want you to see that you have nothing to fear from what Jesus has given you about his mother. Do you all understand? I have not changed. I've been the same person you encountered when you subscribed to this channel. I have not made any changes in what I believe in probably the last 25 years, other than increasing in faith and depth of understanding. Thanks be to God. I am the same person, believing the same things now that I did almost 5 years ago when I began this channel as a mandate from the Lord. When Ezekiel and I married, I was from a non-denominational background and had just converted to Catholicism as a Franciscan lay sister wearing a gray habit. You can listen to my testimony. It's on YouTube. Ezekiel's mom was Church of God. His dad was Roman Catholic. He also was a lay Franciscan brother. And we met in Arkansas because Ezekiel, then Edward, was in John Michael Talbot's community before and still lived nearby. Both of us loved the monastic life, and both of our former spouses were against our vocations. We both felt we had to follow God, so we ended up single. When we met, we were told by the Lord that he had called us to bring the churches together. So we visited and had dialogues with many Russian Orthodox as well as Greek Orthodox and evangelicals to share what we had in common. When we were serving in Jacksonville, Florida, Our Lady started appearing to me in a rosary meeting. Ezekiel would lead the worship and I would lead the prayers. Word got back to the bishop about us wearing a habit and having 4 children and ministering in a rosary group. He called us into his office, and we shared our mission with him. He asked me to come under the supervision of the diocesan priest in charge of discerning apparitions and supernatural occurrences. This was a well-seasoned elderly priest. We were faithful to do this, and the priest reported back to the bishop that he believed my writings were from Our Lady and the apparitions were authentic, so we were approved by the diocese. And let me tell you, that was no small grace. Not long after that, the Lord led us back to New Mexico in the Albuquerque area, and while attending a parish there and running a food bank in the rural outreaches, Ezekiel received the call to priesthood. We began to explore this option and were quickly brushed off by the local parish priest, who was also the director of vocations for the diocese. Not long after that, we made contact with a sincere bishop that was of apostolic lineage, but not part of the Roman Catholic Church. We knew we would be ostracized by the church when Ezekiel was ordained, but we had to obey the calling on Ezekiel's life, so he was ordained. We continued to serve in the area further north, providing food and sacraments to the poor in rural areas of New Mexico. So we were no longer a part of the institution of the Roman Catholic Church. We were considered independent. Because of 9/11, we had to remove our habits from our bodies and not wear them in public, but we never removed them from our hearts, because in that lifestyle, we found the life of the early church, mothers, fathers, and hermits. Then the day came when the Lord asked me to start a YouTube channel and bring the truths that we had learned from all denominations that we knew were authentic Holy Spirit teachings to a channel where the focus was on living and dwelling in God's heart and accepting all denominations without criticism, only teaching intimacy with the Lord. There were already so many divisions, sects, and arguments, and the Lord was so sick of it all. He wanted a channel where anyone was safe to be there without being corrected by others, who, as a matter of fact, 90% of the time didn't have a clue what they were talking about. They just parroted what they'd been taught by their parents and pastors without taking the time to examine the facts. Now, bringing it into present time, I see your struggles. I have seen them. I have felt them. I have wept for you. And everything that you've shared with me has really gone deeply into my heart. And I knew there was more to the faith than what you had. Oh, how that pained me. You see, when I became Roman Catholic, I found the remnant of the early church. It was still alive. But all the rules and regulations of the institution and the corruption was obscuring it. My heart latched on to that early church. Now, Jesus was no longer just my brother, but now he was my betrothed. The fundamentalist Bible-banging tendency in the big desk in front of Jesus with all the study guides on it disappeared, and the Word took up residence in my heart, and I yielded to his pure embrace as his betrothed. When Mary became my prayer partner, which, by the way, I cover in another message, I began to soften and not be so legalistic. Jesus truly was living in my heart. Not just Jesus, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had taken up residence. And now, after years of knowing and studying Scripture, I became married to the Word of God. And I had a mother-in-law who was heavenly. I saw your struggles, and I begged the Lord, please, can I tell them about our mother? But he repeatedly told me, no, it's not time yet. And I continued to receive the teachings from him that he had for you. But all the while, I knew you were missing major graces to live your faith to its fullness. And that was the Lord's Supper, the power of the bread of life, the true presence of Jesus, body and blood, and the intercession of the saints, especially Mary. So you see, I have not changed what I believed. You have discerned correctly that these messages are from him. And I have had this relationship with Mary and the bread of life the whole time you've known me. You have discerned correctly. So understand what I believed 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago has not changed. You just didn't know the things I was not allowed to tell you about. That is why I defended Catholics, and that is why I told you many times I see no problem with invoking the intercession of the saints, and especially Mary. I was witnessing to what I believed, but not putting a Catholic label on it. The Lord didn't just drop Mary on you last week, guys. We have been waiting for you to be able to receive solid food before we introduced her to you. Everything I have ever shared with you has come from a background of knowing Mary both in heaven and on earth, and living in intimacy with her Son. Everything is the same. Nothing is new or changed on this channel. You just didn't have all the facts. So this is not some new teaching that some familiar spirit dropped in our laps. This is what Ezekiel and I have found to be true, and what we have lived with all our hearts. One thing to help you understand, I have been in heaven and can go there at will and speak with Our Lady and our Lord and believers. And believers in heaven are not restricted from acting or praying on behalf of those on earth. This is a fundamentalist error at its worst. And the few books in the Bible that did speak of this were removed by evangelicals so they could say it wasn't in the Bible. God did not divide his body. It is one body under one head. This body has believers on earth and believers in heaven who are fully functional, completely dedicated to saving souls. There are no superstars in heaven. In fact, the most highly revered saint is the most meek and hidden and humble of all. It's not Hollywood, it's heaven. And we all work together in the body of Christ. Now, many times, more than I can count, comments like, go to Jesus alone. We are not to pray to statues. Christ alone is our mediator. Over and over and over again. No sooner do I answer one remark like this, which is a twisted lie, than in the next moment another one exactly like it appears, and I want to shout out, please read my lips. They are not hearing me. Rather, they're putting words into my mouth from their own heads. And I will say it again. We don't pray to Mary. We pray with Mary. She is my prayer partner, and as the mother of Jesus, a mentor and an example of holiness. I pray to Jesus, who is my Savior. Mary prays to Jesus, who is also her Savior. Please don't get weary with me. Let me repeat this. I will say it again. We don't pray to Mary. We pray with Mary. She is my prayer partner. And as the mother of Jesus, a mentor and an example of holiness, I pray to Jesus, who is my Savior. And Mary prays to Jesus, who is her Savior. I hope that clarifies something for some of you. Just like Smith Wigglesworth and other great evangelists are a good example to us, so is Mary's example a good one to follow. And many do follow her apparitions and the writings that come from them, which unmistakably point always to personal holiness and seeking Jesus, living for Jesus alone. Her examples are spotlessly pure and lead many Christians in a holier way of life. God has given her this mission and allowed her to appear on earth to work miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. Just like a man would work a miracle through the power of the Holy Spirit on earth. And she is soft, gentle, kindly, approachable, meek, tender of heart. She respects and loves each of God's creatures, just like others in heaven. Now let me say this one more time. God has given her this mission and allowed her to appear on earth to work miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit in the same way that other ministers work miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything comes from God, and God gives anointings to different people, and He has anointed Mary to not only teach but work miracles. Now, some of you are going to say, but that's necromancy. No, it's not necromancy. Mary is not buried in the earth. Mary is in heaven, glorified. When they opened her tomb on earth, she was gone. The Lord took her to be in heaven, and isn't that fitting? After all, she was a first fruit, a very first believer in the Lord. And she's an example to all of us. So taking her to heaven is showing us all what our reward is when we're raptured. All of this fits into Scripture perfectly. And for those who have been beaten with Bible-banging Christians, she's a breath of pure oxygen sent from heaven. Her main concern for you is that you fall deeply in love with her son and live for him alone. To that end, she instructs through her apparitions. She instructs us in holiness. Okay, I'm going to publish the first message that she gave me from her apparition, and you yourself can judge and see exactly what I'm talking about. That'll be the next video. But there have been abuses of the Marian devotion, guys. Excessive focus on her that seemed to leave her son in the background. In honoring her place in history, some go to extravagant lengths, which make it look like they have made her their god. Yet if you ask most of them, they'll tell you, I worship God, but I revere Mary. It just looks that way to others. There are, of course, some who do carry it to ridiculous extremes, but you can be sure Satan is behind that, to discredit her legitimate role in the church. And I want to make one last comment about statues. This is what Scripture says. This is in Exodus 20, and it is the second of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. Now, exactly what is a graven image? Graven image is an object of worship, carved usually from wood or stone, an idol. So here the Lord is saying, you will not make anything resembling any created thing that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth, and worship it. Okay, so two things have to be evident here. First of all, it's something that you made, and second of all, you worship it. Now, if you don't worship it, it's not an idol. He didn't say not to make anything. He said, do not make and worship anything. Now, to prove my point, when he gave Moses the directions for building the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord said, you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. You shall make 2 cherubim of gold. Make them of hammered work at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at 1 end and 1 cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim of 1 piece with the mercy seat at its 2 ends. The cherubim shall have their wings spread upward, covering the mercy seat with their wings and facing one another. The faces of the cherubim are to be turned toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I shall give you. Now, when the priest went into the Holy of Holies, he didn't worship the cherubim. He worshiped God. And when you see someone kneeling beneath a statue of Mary, they're not worshiping her. They are asking her to pray for them, but they are asking in great reverence because she is the mother of Jesus. Still, you would ask your pastor to pray for you. She's a wonderful intercessor, and you will receive miracles out of season because she took up for you. Another thing, she knows quite well what her son doesn't like, and she will make you aware through the Holy Spirit that there are things you need to change. She will also pray for God to give you those graces. She's a wonderful intercessor and a mother to those who will receive her. Now, undoubtedly, some of you are going to embarrass yourselves terribly and make a comment, but God said you are not to worship statues. I will leave it to you, heart dwellers, to answer that one because I'm really tired of this. I will go into this later, but the one responsible for such a remark either has a religious spirit or an obtuse spirit. both of which are lying demons that twist and distort every good thing God does, just like they do twist and distort praying tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. Same thing. That's a religious spirit. Now pray for one another, dear ones. Pray very much. The truth will be received in all humility, that every religious spirit will be exposed for what it is. I do not in any way want to hurt you. I love you dearly. But some of you are in bondage to a religious spirit, and you need to recognize its influence on you and renounce it. Then you will be free and clear to study the scriptures and receive what they truly say.